The sixth parak deals with donations of assets to the Beis HaMikdash and also the sale of assets by the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Aleph is going to start with a related issue. It's going to talk about if a father passes away and he has debts. And the Beis Din is going to get involved and they are going to sell off some of those assets, despite the fact that the Yorshim are receiving the balance of them, but they're going to come and they're going to try to maximize value in the sale of those assets to pay off the creditors. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Shuma da Yesomim Shlosh. When the Beis Din gets involved, they're going to advertise the sale of those assets for 30 days in order for people to know that those assets for sale in order to try to maximize the sale price. And when this Beis Din is, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to sell off assets, and this is talking specifically about Estem Mikna that was donated to them, that's a Sada, a field that somebody bought and donated to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Beis HaMikdash is going to sell it off, they are going to advertise it for 60 days in order to ensure the highest possible price. They will advertise it. They'll make an announcement morning and night for that 60-day period, or if it's the Shuma Yisomim, will be morning and night for the 30-day period. Now we are going to talk about some interesting concepts that if somebody gives a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, but somebody else has a lien on that asset. And the example, we'll see a couple of examples. It can be a wife that has a ksuba from her husband. The ksuba is paid out if he passes away or if he divorces her. But in the interim, before he pays off that ksuba, he donates those assets that are she has a lien on. She has a lien on all of his assets. He donates it to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says as follows, HaMakdish Nechasav, B'hai Salav Ksubas Isha. Somebody gives, he donates all of his assets to the Beis HaMikdash, but he has a wife who has a lien on all of his assets because she has a ksuba outstanding. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Kishia Garshena Yadir Hana. Rabbi Eliezer has a concern. The concern is as follows, that if he comes and regrets having donated his assets to the Beis HaMikdash, he has a way to get them out. How is that? He can tell his wife, and he'll set this up as a plot, as a ploy, in order to get his assets back from the Beis HaMikdash. Let's divorce, and accordingly, you have a security interest in the assets that were donated to the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to be able to get those assets back, and then we'll remarry each other. So because of that concern, it's called the kanunya. Chazal said in a situation that somebody donated assets to the Beis HaMikdash and he's getting divorced, he has to make a neder that his wife that he's divorcing can never have hana'a from him. That's yadir hana'a. And accordingly, they will not be permitted to get married. So we are ensuring a second time, remarried. So now we are ensuring that they are not causing this fraud on the Beis HaMikdash. Continuing, Rabbi Yishuv Amar, Eino Tzarich, Rabbi Yishuv disagrees, you don't have to make this neder, why not? So the Bar Tanur gives a detailed explanation on a high level. Rabbi Yishuv is of the view that when somebody makes a hektish by mistake, that's not considered hektish. So if somebody made a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, gave all of his assets, he can actually go to a chacham, Talmud Chacham, and be Matir the Neder. So because he has other ways to get his assets out of the Beis HaMikdash, we're not concerned he's going to make this kanunya, this ploy, this scheme with his wife, and accordingly, if he does divorce his wife, he's not going to need to make that neder. Kiyotze, but we have a similar concern, a similar issue. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, af ha'arev le'isha b'ktuvatav u'vaya ba'al ha'megarsha. Similar situation here. It's not that the Beis HaMikdash has the assets, but somebody who has a ksuba and there was a guarantor on that ksuba. We may be concerned that he is divorcing the wife and she's going to go and he's going to claim I don't have assets. She's going to go and collect it from the guarantor and thereafter afterward, he'll remarry his wife, and they will be stiffing the guarantor. So accordingly, to avoid that concern, Yadir Hana, you know, once he's divorcing her, he's gonna be required to make a neder that she can never have Hana from him. That will prevent them from getting remarried. Then we're going to avoid the kenunya. If she's getting divorced accordingly, we really know that it's a real divorce, and she can then call on the Arev, the guarantor, to pay what she is owed in the absence of the husband having any assets. So here it spells that out. Shema Yasa Kanuni al Nechasav Shalzev Yachsir Es Ishto. The concern is we need them to make this neder in order to ensure that it's not a kanunya, that they are going to scheme against that Arev, the guarantor, and thereafter they will get remarried. Mishnah Beis is a continuation, and just a little bit background. On a Doraisa level, when somebody has a Shiva, when somebody has a security interest, like that woman that has the ketubah, or as if we have somebody who gives a loan to somebody else and the lender has a security interest and in the borrower's assets, if that husband or borrower goes and is makdish those assets to the Beis HaMikdash, that asset on a deraisa level is not owned by the Beis HaMikdash. And accordingly, that wife or that lender can go and collect that asset from the Beis HaMikdash, but Chazal were concerned, it looks like you can get assets back from the Beis HaMikdash without being paid to them, without being paying anything to redeem those assets. Accordingly, even if there's a situation with that wife or the lender that they have the security interest, it's really their assets that were donated to the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to still have to go through the formality of being paid those assets from the Beis HaMikdash, even though they're not on a deraisa level owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Mishnah Beis says as follows, HaMakdish Nechasav Aisala Ketubas Isha. Somebody donates all of his assets, all of his possessions to the Beis HaMikdash, but he owes a ksuba, or ubalchov, or he has a lender that gave him money and he has to pay off this the lender. And he went and he donated his assets. Ein ha'isha yachola likvar ketubah tamin ha'ekdash. The woman who has to get paid out of ketubah, she cannot go to the Beis HaMikdash and say, give me my assets, even though they are her assets. Lo balchov eschova, and the balchov, the lender, also cannot collect it from the Beis HaMikdash, even though they are his assets. But what has to happen is that husband, or who the borrower, ela ha'podeh podeh al-manas li'ten li'isha ketubah, so he has to go to the Beis HaMikdash and he has to redeem it. He has to pay an amount and he has to redeem it in order to pay his wife off for ksuba or lebal chovetzchov, or he has to go and redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash in order to pay off the lender. Now we're going to give an example of that in the Seifa of the Mishnah. And what we'll see here is that that full asset was owned by somebody else, either that wife or the lender. Hikdish tishim. So when this person came and he donated all of his assets to the Beis HaMikdash, and it had a value of tishi maneh. It was worth 90 maneh, v'hayachovo mea maneh, and he owes somebody more. He owes his wife 100 maneh, or he owes that lender 100 maneh. So none of those assets are owned by the Beis HaMikdash because the person who has a security interest is owed the full amount. So in order to redeem them, still, on a deraisa level, you don't have to redeem them. The Beis HaMikdash doesn't own it at all, but we have to go through the formality of being podeh, so people don't think that you don't have to be podeh assets from the Beis HaMikdash. So mosif od dinar. So what that the husband or the borrower has no money. So the wife is going to give him basically a tiny loan. A dinar is 1/100th of maneh, a tiny amount of money that that wife or that lender is going to add to the loan. And that husband or that borrower is going to redeem, go through the formality, even though that has, those assets are not owned by the Beis HaMikdash, but he has to go through the formality with that tiny amount of money. He's going to redeem those assets from the Beis HaMikdash, halalo al manas liten la'isha ketubato lebal chovetzchov, in order to pay off his wife or the lender, and then they will get fully, at least the assets that was owned by the Beis HaMikdash will be used to pay them, and then the husband or borrower will be on the ropes for anything in addition that he owes them. Mishnah Gimel is actually harking back to what we saw in the fifth parak, Mishnah Vav, where if somebody makes an erech vow, and the gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, is concerned the person is not going to pay it off, the gizbar can take collateral and hold on to that collateral until the person pays his erech vow off. So what we're going to talk about is what collateral can be taken and what collateral cannot be taken from that individual. Mishnah Gimel says as follows, and even though we said back there that gizbar can take collateral, you have to leave with that person who is now a debtor. He made this commitment and he hasn't paid his erech vow. He's a debtor to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to leave with him either the food of 30 days or the money. If he doesn't have food to 30 days, we're going to leave him enough money to buy food of 30 days. And the same thing applies to ksosh neimasar chodesh, clothing for 12 months, umitas mutas, and a bed with bedding, v'sandalim, and his sandals. He needs shoes to walk around with, utfillin, and also his tfillin, if he has those items. And if not, we're going to leave him money for those items. Lo, now when we're talking about based on a pasuk, we're going to leave it for him, avaloli ishto valolabana, but if we'd not going to leave it for his wife or his children. That's going to be his responsibility to fend for them, but we would take their assets, their collateral, to anything that they own, we would take in order to pay off the erech vow. But if the person is in business, we have to make sure that he has a parnasa. So if he's a craftsman, I am uman, we're going to have to leave with him two tools of the trade for each of the tools that he has. For example, he has hammers and screws, etc., and screwdrivers. We're going to leave him two of each. In case one breaks, he'll have a spare to work with. We don't want him to have downtime. For example, if he's a charash, which is a carpenter, nosnim shnei ma'atzadim u'shnei megerot, we're going to leave him with two planes. That's a certain tool that's used for smoothing out wood. We're going to leave him two saws. And based on this Tanakhama, if the person has a more capital asset, for example, if he's a taxi driver, that would not be considered a tool of the trade. That's considered a capital asset. That would be taken by the Beis HaMikdash, but Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with that. Rabbi Eliezer, Mary Mihaya Ikar, if he's a farmer, for example, Nosnim lo es tzimdo, we would give him his team of oxen, even though it's not, strictly speaking, a tool. It's not a screwdriver or a hammer, but we will leave him his team of oxen so he can plow the field. If, for example, he's a chamar, he's a donkey driver, Nosnim lo es chamoro, we're going to leave him his donkey so he can continue in his work. Mishnah Dalet is a continuation. We said we leave him two of each tool. Hayamin echad meruba, min echad muad. What happens if he has more than two of one tool and less than two of another tool? For example, he has three screwdrivers and one hammer. Ein omrim lo limkor es meruba v'likach lo et muad. We're not going to tell him sell the excess screwdrivers so you can only keep two. So sell one of your screwdrivers and buy with it a second hammer. Ela nosnim lo shnei minim min meruba. We're going to rather the one that he has more than two of, he's going to be able to keep two of them. He's going to be able to keep two screwdrivers. And the one that he has less than two of, for example, he has only one hammer. He's been okay with one hammer today. We're going to leave him with only one hammer. We're not going to enable him to buy an additional hammer. And then this is a halacha that we are going to compare erechin to hekdesh. We said before that if somebody made an erechin vow, the gizbar can take a lot of his assets, but one of the things that he cannot take is the tefillin. The tefillin is not something that is considered accessible to the gizbar. We are now going to contrast that if somebody is makdish, if somebody donates all of his possessions to the Beis HaMikdash, that would include the tefillin. The tefillin becomes hekdesh, and we're simply going to enable the person to buy it out of hekdesh, but the default is it is hekdesh. A makdish es If somebody says, I'm being makdish all of my possessions, ma'alino es tfilav, we're going to estimate, we're going to appraise the value of his tefillin, and he's going to have to buy it out of the hekdesh. Mishnah, we are going to combine a couple of concepts here. We're going to combine concept number one, echad makdish es nechasav. Somebody who donated, gave to hekdesh all of his possessions. And we said before that all of his possessions go, but certain possessions may not go. Echad hamarich es asma. Somebody said, I'm going to give my own erech. And we said there as well that if the gizbar is concerned that he is not paying the erech, he may not pay the erech, the gizbar can come and take some of that person's assets as collateral in any of those cases. In either of those cases, when we're talking about what was included in the donation to the Beis HaMikdash, what can the gizbar take in order to ensure the payment of the erech of the individual? Ein lo lo b'ksus ishtol, it does not include the clothing of the wife, lo b'ksus banav, and it doesn't include the clothing of the children. So if he was makdish everything, that doesn't include the wife's clothing, the children's clothing, the gizbar cannot collect the ksus ishto, ksus banav, v'lo b'tzeva shitzvan lishman, even if the person simply colored, he dyed garments for his wife, his kids, but they haven't worn it yet, they're brand new, but he designated for that, that's lishman, v'lo b'sandalim b'chadashim shalachtan lishman, even if he just bought sandals, shoes for his wife or his kids, that also would not be included in what's donated or what the gizbar could take. And now we're going to talk about sales of assets by the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to distinguish when an individual wants to sell something. There are times that it makes sense for him to invest, to beautify the asset. For example, if somebody is selling an apartment or a house, the real estate brokers can come in and what's called stage the house. They put a lot of lipstick on it in order to make it look better. Not literally, but they come and they put in nice furniture and nice things. And that, even though there's an investment to do that, that greatly increases the value. You make a multiple of your investment. And sometimes it's going to be worthwhile to wait on a sale and sell it in a different place where there's more of a market, a higher price. So that's what an individual will do. But we'll see shortly at the end of this Mishnah that the Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to wait. So the Mishnah says as follows, Afa Bishamra, even though Chazal said Avadim, we'll see three examples. Avadim nimkarim b'ksus on the shevach. When you sell an Evan, when you sell a slave, you sell it with the clothing. But if you put on more expensive clothing, you're going to make back your money in spades. If you were just on that same Eved, you're selling him with his clothing, it's going to have one market value. But if you buy him a much nicer piece of clothing for 30 dinar, his price is going to go up to a maneh, which is 100 dinar. You'll triple your, more than triple your investment in it, because he's going to look that much better. And number two, example number two, v'chein para imam tini mosali itlis mashbachasi. If you have a cow, you want to sell it, if you would wait for the market day, there's much more demand on the market day, you'll get a much higher price. And example number three, v'chein margalisi malino salakrach mashbachasi. You have a pearl, but you live in a small town. If you would just wait, bring it to the big town, to the big city, where there's much more demand, there's more purchasers, you'll get a much better price, so it's worthwhile for the individual to either invest or to wait, or to sell it in the right price. But when it comes to Hekdesh, it's different. Ein lehekdesh ala makom v'shato. When it comes to Hekdesh, we're going to sell it where it is. At that time, we're not going to wait, as the Bartanur explains in the name of the Rambam. There may be an upside, but there also may be a downside in waiting. Maybe you're going to get a worse price. So we're not going to gamble with the assets of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to play it safe and sell it right now without making the investment and trying to increase the profitability.